Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series on the spiritual disciplines, and today we are looking at a man in prayer. Our speaker is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Good morning, men. All right, it's a great day. We want to give a shout out to those who are joining us for the podcast. So if you would, on the count of three, join me in giving that traditional, warm, rousing Man in the Mirror welcome. One, two, three, hurrah! Okay, welcome, guys. If you're joining us online, we're glad to have you with us on the podcast. We're in a series. The series is called A Man's Guide to the Spiritual Disciplines. So we have looked at creation, how God speaks through general revelation. We've looked at the Word of God. We've looked at the Bible, how God speaks through special revelation. We've looked at worship, how we engage God through worship. And then today, we are going to take a look at prayer, a man in prayer. So 55% of all Americans pray according to the Pew Research Organization. And you might be interested to know, I did the survey of the survey, and I came up with about 10 interesting factoids about it. But one interesting thing is that, do you think you would be more likely to pray every day if you are a Republican or a Democrat? Well, you will be happy or perhaps surprised to know that it's a toss-up. About roughly 40% of Republicans pray every day, and about roughly 40% of Democrats pray every day. What you don't want to be, though, is an independent, because they're way, way down there. So anyway, prayer creates a lot of nagging questions, and that's what I want to talk to you about first. So some of those nagging questions, we all know what they are, but the questions that are raised by suffering, you know, does God even know what I'm going through? Does he care about what I'm going through? And if he does care, can he do anything about it? And if he can't do anything about it, why isn't he? Or why hasn't he done something about it? These are the questions raised by suffering. And then, why should I pray when I never know if he's going to answer me or not? We'll get to it, but of course, the correct understanding is that God does answer all prayer one way or the other. We'll get there. And then you prayed and something bad happened and you wonder, you know, where was God when I needed him? Where was he? These are the nagging questions that are created by prayer. And then what can I do when I'm bitter and I'm angry and I'm hurt? These are the nagging questions, some of the nagging questions that are just a sample of the nagging questions raised by suffering. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 77, if you have a Bible, and if you don't, that's fine. You can listen. You can listen with your eyes open. You can listen with your eyes shut. The Psalms are composed of great prayers, many of them by King David. This is a psalm by Asaph. And I'm going to read to you the first 14 verses so you can follow along or listen along. And it points out how personal prayer is and how prayer does address the nagging questions and how it's okay to tell God that you have these nagging questions about prayer. Verse 1, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples, and so on. It's okay to have nagging questions. We're invited to pour out our hearts to God. Whether you be in a state of exultation and joy and happiness and success and everything is going your way, God wants to talk to you about it. If you're in the miry pit, being ground as though in a mortar with a pestle, and despondent about your circumstances, God wants to talk to you about it. The big idea for the day is whatever is making you happy or sad, God wants to talk to you about it. Prayer is communication. Prayer is conversation. It's you talking to God about whatever makes you happy or sad, and it's God talking back to you as well. And we're going to talk about both of those elements. Whatever's making you happy or sad, God wants to talk to you about it. So how we talk to God is the next thing for us to engage with. And to do that, we're going to take a fresh look at the Lord's Prayer. And think about it from the perspective of the concepts and categories that are covered in the prayer. In Luke chapter 11, it's also in Matthew 6, I think. Luke chapter 1, disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. So this is how we pray. This is the model prayer. It's not the only way we pray, but it's the model prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is this? This is adoration. When you are in conversation dynamics, right? When you walk up to somebody, I walked up to Patsy and I said, talked about this before, but I said, hey, Patsy, how you doing? I'm Pat. Would you like to get married? No, I didn't do that because that would violate the process of relationships. And in relationships, when you start a conversation with somebody, you greet them and you show them the respect and the honor that they are worthy to receive. Sometimes you begin with a word of thanks, but it's adoration. And when we talk to God, how we talk to God is that we start with adoration. You should always take a beat and reflect on the greatness and the goodness of God and remember who you're talking to. You just got invited to talk to somebody that's a million times more important than the President of the United States. And you get to walk right into his Oval Office. Well, show some respect, right? Okay. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is submission. The first concept is adoration. The second concept we see in the Lord teaching us a prayer is submission. Whatever it is, like Jesus, Father, if you are willing, please take away this cup of suffering, yet not what I will, but what you will be done. It's this idea of submitting ourselves to the understanding. And by the way, sidebar here, you can only submit if you have a correct understanding of the character of God. You could never submit to somebody who did not have your best interest in mind, right? But God, who is both great and good, who is both holy and loving, who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, and all the other characteristics, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the soon and coming King, all these different kinds of attributes of God, means that we can trust him to be good as well as powerful, and we can submit to the goodness of his will. So this God who has to take on the prayers of 8 billion people, or 55% of 8 billion people, or whatever the worldwide number would be, who are praying to him every day, God is processing all that. So you have what you want, you have what you need, you have where you hurt, you have where you're happy, but everybody else has theirs too. And God has to be this infinitely wise, all-knowing God who then makes all of that work in the cauldron of human interest, desire, ambition, sin, so forth, and pull that all together. And so we submit our will to God's will because we believe that he actually knows better than we know what we need for ourselves. Supplication, give us this week our weekly bread. Yeah, it's not give us this month our monthly rent. It's not give us this year a new car. It's give us this day our daily bread. Now, Jesus speaks in figuratively all the time, so this is figurative language. It's not literally bread, but it's whatever you need. It's consolation. It's protection. It's provision. It's relational congruity and getting along with people. Whatever it is that you need today, whatever it is that I needed at 1:40 a.m. when I woke up this morning, whatever time you got up when you wake up in the middle of the night, whatever it is, that's the daily bread that you need. And he invites us to supplication, to ask him for whatever it is that we need for daily bread. Now, daily bread is a metaphor for what we need today, but it's not only today. Part of our daily bread might be something that something that involves our career. It's really a horizon of 20 years, but today it's the daily bread. So don't misinterpret it that you shouldn't be planning or something like that, because you should definitely be making plans for the future, and that's part of your daily bread. So it might be a 20-year plan that you do today, that you're working on today, but it's still what you need that day. Are you tracking with this? Okay. No? Who said no? So meet with me afterwards, and we'll do a remedial session. Okay. And then forgive us our sins as we also forgive others their sins. So this is confession. It's owning our stuff. It's taking ownership of where we have erred and where we have actually gone beyond poor judgment and actually sinned against someone. It's confessing that we have done something that has hurt someone, and or we have gone and done something that is literally like morally bankrupt. It's confessing our sins, but it's also beyond that, it's forgiveness. It's also forgiving other people when they have sinned against us. In fact, Jesus at the end of the Matthew 6 version of the Lord's Prayer says, if you don't forgive other people their sins, the Father won't forgive your sins either. So it's incredibly important, confession and forgiveness, in how we talk to God. And then finally is the category of protection. So we have adoration, submission, supplication, confession, and forgiveness, and then protection. And Jesus is teaching us how to pray, how we talk to God, and Lord, do not lead us into temptation, or do not allow us to yield to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Protect us. So this is the model prayer. You can go off in a million different directions on this, but this is how we pray to God. Big idea. Whatever is making you happy or sad, God wants to talk about it, and this is how we can talk to God about it. We can ask Him for whatever we need, whatever supplication there is, or whatever problem that someone has created for us, we can forgive them by talking to God about it. God wants to talk about it. And then how does God talk to us? That's the other part of this big idea, how God talks to us. So how many of you have heard God speak to you? All right, so I'm looking around and I see maybe 15 or 20% of the hands. It is not God's norm I'm not going to say it's not God's norm, but I will say that not many people actually have experiences where God has literally spoken to them. I've had a dozen such experiences. Some people have had a lot more than that. Some people have had a lot of experiences they think is God talking to them, and they're more than happy to share that with you, but sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. But there are many other ways that God talks to us as well. So what are some of those ways? Just shout them out as you think about them. Say it again. Okay, so dreams through His Word, the Word of God, through nature, the Holy Spirit communicating through impressions, right? And then I heard something else. Say it again. Okay, I'm going to get a hearing aid here, or I'm going to walk over closer. Through other believers. Yeah, we do hear through the counsel, the advice, the wisdom of other believers. What are some other ways that God speaks to us? All right, so in our lowest moments, we're more open, more vulnerable to have the walls that are built up by self-sufficiency are gone, and then the Lord's able to permeate through the membrane of our resistance a little easier. Is that another way of saying it? Through our experiences. All right, so we've got the nature and surroundings. And anything else? You say it again? Pain. Yeah, pain certainly does heighten our sensitivity to the voice of God. Fasting is another way. All of the spiritual disciplines are ways that we can hear from God, right? How about conscience? Nobody's mentioned that one yet, but our conscience, Paul talks about conscience. So there are so many ways that God is. God is screaming at you all day long. Well, not screaming, but he's whispering God is constantly talking to us. The only question is, have we dialed in on His frequency or not? You know, if you look at the one, take your hands, just go like this and create one square foot box in front of you. Just go ahead and do that. Just create like a 1 square foot box in front of your hands. Okay, what's inside that box? Everything is inside that box. Every microwave, every TV station, every radio wave, every cell signal, micro. When you think about it, all of today's news is right there, right now, literally right there in that space in front of you, if you have access to it. And it's the same way with God's voice. It's right there in that same one square foot box is God. In fact, if you take that one square and you put it in inside of your chest, he's there. He is the Holy Spirit. He is within you. He's in within me. And he is constantly wanting for us to tune the dial and hear what he has to say. And the way we do that is through prayer. That's the constituted having communication with God. It involves us tuning in and listening to what he has to say. So, whatever's making you happy or sad, God wants to talk to you about it. He wants to talk to us about it. So I'm going to give you six ways you can kind of calibrate or fine-tune daily prayer. I'm going to guess that everybody here is probably in the daily prayer 55% there. The first way to calibrate to daily prayer is rethinking the efficacy of prayer. So what is efficacy? That it works, that it's effectual, it's efficacious, like a medicine that actually works. It's not a placebo, it's the real medicine, you see. And so perhaps the greatest, well, I think it's the greatest for me anyway, illustration that I've ever heard of this, and I did put this one in the book. Some of this other stuff is not in the book, but so Pascal was the first one to note this, and he said, God instituted prayer to impart to his creatures the dignity of causality. In other words, by prayer you can move a mountain. And then Lewis, picking up on Pascal, said the two methods by which we are allowed to produce events are called work and prayer. So here's the problem presented by prayer. When I work, I see a result. When I pray, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Therefore, human logic would say that work is more powerful than prayer because it always produces a result. Prayer, however, does not always produce a result, so therefore, prayer must not be as powerful. Listen to what Lewis says. The kind of causality we exercise by work is, so to speak, divinely guaranteed and therefore ruthless. By it, we are free to do to ourselves as much harm as we please. But the kind which we exercise by prayer is not like that. God has left himself a discretionary power. Had he not done so, prayer would be an activity too dangerous for men. I would have killed three people already today if I had the same efficacy to prayer as I have to my work. Three people, only three people so far today, I would have killed through prayer. That is why God has retained a discretionary power of granting or refusing it, except on the condition that prayer would destroy us. He gives a wonderful illustration about, he said, it's not unreasonable for a headmaster to say, if we take him a problem, headmaster, C.S. Lewis, that kind of thing was all popular. Such and such things, the headmaster says, you can do according to the fixed rules of this school, but such and such other things are too dangerous to be left to general rules. If you want to do them, you must come and make a request and talk over, God wants to talk about it, whether you're happy or sad, and talk over the whole matter with me in my study, and then we'll see. That's submission. You see? That's submission. So that's one way to calibrate daily prayer, is just to rethink the efficacy of prayer, that to understand that prayer is actually the most powerful thing you can do, perhaps the most efficient thing you can do too. Martin Luther is very famous for having said, I have so much to do today that it's going to take 3 hours of prayer to get it all done. Now, this was the big idea from the study we did in James, that God will give you whatever you ask for in prayer if it's within his will, but never less than as much as you need. And if you believe this statement, supported by these scriptures, Luke 11, verse 8, and 1 John 5, 14 and 15, if you believe this in the efficacy of prayer, then you can have absolute confidence when you do talk to God that he is going to give you whatever you need if it's within his will. But he's never going to give you anything less than as much as you need, even if it means you don't get over your cancer, even if it means a child dies, whatever it is. That's the efficacy of prayer. The second way of calibrating to daily prayer is rethinking the frequency of prayer. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 say, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. It is God's will for you to pray continually. So what that means is that we all have a running conversation with ourselves all day long. And what it means is that it would be a good idea to include God in that running conversation. So nobody can do this perfectly. I mean, there are going to be moments when large tracts of time, I suppose, when you're going to be just, it'd be your thoughts and your thoughts alone. But I would encourage you to practice the idea of never having a conversation you're ahead with just yourself. Include God in that conversation and recalibrate the frequency of your prayer to pray continually. Third way to calibrate daily prayer is to rethink the scope of what you pray for. How many of you pray for world peace? How many of you pray for a job promotion? How many of you pray for a loved one? How many of you pray for parking spaces? I always pray for parking spaces. And you know what? I always get a good parking place. I mean, I always get, you know why? Because most people don't drive up to the front. They take one of the back spaces, and there's always a parking space very close to the door if you think about it. But I also would say that maybe God had something to do with it too. I don't know. Maybe he made people, what? No, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea either. Handicap sticker for those of you online. Oh my gosh. Okay, so just rethinking the scope of what you pray for. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit. Remember that he's here. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And keep on praying for all of the Lord's people as well. So rethinking the scope of what you pray for. All occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests, even parking spaces. As silly as that seems. Unless you can't find one and your plane's going to be leaving without you. By the way, little tip, if you want to have God on your side, go to level 7 on the A side of the terminal at the Orlando airport, up on the terminal top parking. There's always a space up there. So, okay. Calibrating to daily prayer. So rethinking the efficacy, frequency, scope of prayer, but then also developing some rote, R-O-T-E, prayers. Now, the Lord's Prayer is a rote prayer. I grew up Episcopalian in a Christian home that didn't know Jesus, if that makes any sense to you. But it was an Episcopalian upbringing. And I loved the book, the Comet Prayer Book, or whatever. They have all these prayers in there, these rote prayers. And I remember I loved those prayers. I didn't really fully comprehend them, but I loved them. The Lord's Prayer is a rote prayer. I have 6 rote prayers that I pray every day or almost every day, and I mix them up. I was thinking about it this week. Most of my prayers deal with either submission or adoration. So submission is, you know, Jesus, today I make a full, total, complete surrender of my life to your Lordship. That's a submission prayer, right? I pray that every day. But then I have others like, Lord, I worship you 5 ways. In the beauty of your holiness, the majesty of your creation, the unconditionality of your love, the generosity of your salvation, and the mystery of your providence. And it recalibrates my life. It keeps me on track. You have yours, I'm sure. But if you don't, consider recalibrating to daily prayer with some rote prayers. Okay? Or I worship you. Another one of my, I worship you. Gosh, we're running out of time. Journaling your prayers. I started this for some reason. Somebody told me this. They gave me a little booklet to write down my prayers when I first became a follower of Jesus. And I would write them down, and then I would write down the date, and then I would write down the date of the answer. And I said, oh my gosh, God really does answer prayer. So how many times have you prayed for something, God has answered it, and then you've completely forgotten that you even had prayed about it? Yeah, we all have done that, right? And then finally, praying together with your closest loved ones. I'll close with this story. Rick Hornbeck, a former table leader in Harvard MBA, his mother was in a small group with 5 women. There were 5 women. Among them, they had 11 children. And they would socialize a little bit, and then they would pray together. They would have prayer together. They would sit, and they would say, please pray for my son. Please pray for my daughter. Please pray for this. Please. And they would kind of get those things out there, and then they would sit in silent prayer for 20 or 30 minutes. Silent prayer together in community for 20 or 30 minutes. All 11 of their children gave their lives to Jesus Christ as a result of the prayers, the silent prayers of that community. Pray for with your wife, pray for your wife, if you have one, girlfriend, fiance. Calibrate yourself to daily prayer. 6 ways you can do that. 6 ways that you can talk to God. 6 ways that God can talk to you. The big idea, whatever is making you happy or sad, just always remember, no matter how good it is or how bad it is, God wants to talk to you about it every day, every single day, on all occasions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you just invite us and show us, even in the Psalms, how we can come to you with anything and everything. And then the instructions on how to do it from you, Jesus. Some of us today are very happy, Lord. Some of us today are very sad. Probably most of us are a little bit happy and a little bit sad. Help us to feel a new level of comfort and confidence to talk to you about everything that we're going through all day long, every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.